Today, we're going to discuss dances, going to dances, balls, things like that. Before we begin, let us begin with a prayer, because I feel like this is something that a lot of us might be closed to. The spirit of the world has penetrated the church and our culture so deeply that we might have fallen victim to some of these situations in our upbringing. So I would like to begin with a prayer, and it's a very simple prayer. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts and to be with us through the powerful intercession of Mary. And I will repeat the prayer 3 times, and it's a good prayer for you to learn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Athanasius, on this your feast day, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, may all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, as it is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no doubt that the devil has set up many traps that are very shameful in the modern world, to trap young people, to trap young men, and to trap young women, that they are stained with a connotation of shame. For example, pornography. People can easily get ensnared in pornography, and it's a shameful thing to get caught in that. There's also drug and alcohol abuse. Easily, people are led astray because they drink too much alcohol, they use drugs, or they abuse drugs and alcohol, and when they get caught and when they have to fess up to that, tremendous amounts of shame. Now, what the devil needs, if he is the devil and he is a roaring lion that seeks to devour souls, what the devil needs is a sanitary way to drag good people into sin that is up to the standards of society, that won't stain the conscience, that won't prick your soul and make you feel really guilty or make you look really bad. That's what the devil really needs. The devil needs a way to drag good Catholics into sin, to drag young people into sin in a way that their good mothers, their loving fathers won't look down upon them and even have a sense of pride, like, look at my son, look at my daughter. And so that there's no caution that's being used in these circumstances. And that's what the devil really needs. A way that is socially acceptable to have your soul dragged into hell. And if he can't drag you into hell, to definitely lower the glory that you're going to receive in heaven and to make your life more difficult and to make you have less sense of God's presence. And so the devil has come up with something that we have allowed into our families and into our Catholic schools and into our Catholic circles, especially more traditional Orthodox Catholic circles. And these are dances, balls, in particular school dances, but I'm talking about any dances involving young men and women mixing together, dancing together. Now, there's no doubt that there are shameful dances out there. There are dances that if you engage in them because they are so sexually perverse that you are committing a mortal sin, there's no doubt about this. And these even exist in some of our more lukewarm, less orthodox, less faithful to the magisterium Catholic schools and Catholic circles. Yes, these are very popular in even public schools. These dances that are an outrage and vulgar to the senses, that are out and out, downright, unapologetically sexual, where a young woman is rubbing her rear end in the private areas of a man. To do this knowingly and willingly, without a doubt, to rub your rear end or your private parts together with a person of the opposite sex, even if you're just dancing because these are dance moves, this is done knowingly and willingly. This is a grave sin. How could you not be purposely stirring up the passions in another person? That is how you stir up the passions in another person. You rub their private areas. So to do these dances, there's no doubt that you would be getting yourself involved in mortal sin if you do this knowingly and willingly. I'm not going to judge your soul. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to help, to enlighten you, to inform you, and to hopefully pull you away from these snares of the devil. The video that we're giving right now is not about those kind of dances. I am talking about dances that good Catholic people will say, These dances are very good. These are wholesome. These are classy dances. These have moves that are beautiful and alluring and that aren't so animal in their sexuality and their sexual appeal. These dances are nice. Ballroom dances, tango dances, swing dances. Well, what's wrong with swing dances? What's wrong with ballroom dances? Well, I can assure you at these other dances that the devil has set up a snare, a web to get our good young men and women. We're going to talk about that right now. The saints have already condemned these. The church has already said, don't go to these kind of dances. These man and woman, one boy, one girl, one young man, one young woman, unmarried, don't go to these dances. The church has already said that. The great saints throughout the ages have already said that. St. John Vianney has already said that. St. Anthony Mary Claret has already said that. St. Francis de Sales has already said that. St. Augustine has already said that. St. John Chrysostom has already said that. All the great saints of the church have already said, don't go to these boy and girl dances. But for some reason, we have rejected them. We have said these reasons that these old men and these saints have said, they no longer apply to us because we are an enlightened people. And going to these dances is actually good for our psychology. Well, let me tell you what, young men, young women, I'm not going to sit here and quote the patron saints of the church. I'm not going to sit here and quote the different councils of the church. The councils and the saints can speak for themselves. What I am going to do is I'm going to present to you 5 points that I have kind of summarized that I see my faithful students and my friends who are in high school and college slipping into, becoming lukewarm. If you can tell I'm a little passionate about it, it's because I have had many old students, former students of mine, high school, middle school, people that I interact with, college students that have been on fire, have had vocations, have been so devoted, and we'll talk about this towards the end, that have come out lukewarm. And the bridge that was broken first was going to dances, and this is what led them astray. So I beg of you, even if you've already gone to dances, even if you're proudly promoting your school dances, your college dances, the dances that you're holding with your homeschool group because they're wholesome and not like those other dances, I beg of you, through the blessed intercession of Our Lady, through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, open your mind and open your heart to what I'm going to talk to you. Just these 5 points that I'm going to present to you. Pray about it. Think about it. Your first reaction is going to be, no, this guy's crazy. There's no, I would never do anything wrong. This school was set up to save souls. I wouldn't allow this to happen. Be open. I'm going to quote to you one saint, and that saint is Saint Francis de Sales, a doctor of the church. Doctor of the church is somebody we can trust concerning faith and morals, and who gives us light in the teachings of the church, illuminates them for us. St. Francis de Sales said this, before I give you my 5 points, one saint, doctor of the church. St. Francis de Sales says this, because of the circumstances surrounding dances. So we're talking not about the dances where you walk in, you dance one time, and mortal sin right there just because you're dancing. Those dances, I'm not talking about those. We're talking about dances that existed at the time of St. Francis de Sales. Because of the circumstances surrounding dances, it is so conducive to evil. The circumstances are so conducive to evil that souls run the greatest risks at them. The greatest risks at them. These balls, dances, and similar nighttime events ordinarily attract the vices and sins of that region. Complaints, envy, jeers, and infatuations of heart. Just as the exercise of dance opens the pores of the body, so also it opens the pores of the heart. For this reason, if some serpent comes to inspire words of lust or flattery to be whispered in one's ear, or if some lizard approaches, darting impure and amorous looks, hearts are most disposed to let themselves be polluted and contaminated. Just like we want to be disposed in the Eucharist, we want to be disposed in the sacraments, we want to be disposed in prayer to receive the Word of God, well, here, our hearts are most disposed to receive the Word, the promptings, the subtleties of the devil. Our hearts are most disposed to let themselves be contaminated and polluted. That's the only saint that I will quote at the moment. So, again, we're discussing ballroom dances, one man, one woman, tango, touching, swinging, Oh, it's so fun. Oh, the music is playing. Oh, it's such a good time. Oh, I just want to see my friends. Oh, that handsome guy is there. Oh, that cute girl is there. Oh, this girl wasn't so cute, but now that I see her at the dance and she's got makeup on and she's shaking very beautifully and she's touching and her skin feels so soft and her hair smells so nice. Oh, wow. And now that she's touching my back and oh, wow. Now that I have my hand on her hip, wow, she's becoming more attractive. Okay, now we're getting to point number one. These dances are a snare to steal one's authentic vocation and all discernment from your soul. When you get married, you're married forever. You are married forever until death do you part. You are stuck with this person for better or for worse. And what happens all too often is that people get enamored. Infatuations of the heart. Let's say you've already discerned what your vocation is. And you've discerned, I am called to receive the sacrament of holy matrimony. You're trying to discern to whom you will live this sacrament with. Who will better get you to heaven? Who will be a good mother or a good father for your children? Who will help you to save your own soul? Who will help you to save the souls of your family and your friends? And you're trying to discern this. One of the things that will get in the way is your infatuations that can happen at dances. So there you are, you're at the dance. Physical infatuations that begin, these chemical reactions begin to take place, and you become infatuated with them and you start to like them without any prior discernment of this is the kind of person that you want to have these chemical reactions, these physical attractions to. And then you go and you start dating or you start going to more dances together, you start spending more time together. And because of this physical reaction, because of the pheromones, because of the oxytocin that is released from all this holding and touching and rubbing and dancing, and the music is moving you, and all of these rhythms of the body were moving in unison, all of this begins to open the pores of your heart, as Saint Francis de Sales says, allowing for impure and amorous looks, because you're going with the feeling, you're going with the emotion, and your concupiscence is saying, well, I wouldn't normally let this guy hold my hand. I wouldn't normally let this guy swing me around. I wouldn't normally let this guy put his arm around me. I wouldn't normally have my hand on this guy's back. I wouldn't normally be staring into this man's arms. But now, I'm starting to be a little bit more disposed. Disposed to what? Disposed to let myself be contaminated and polluted. So you're religious, you feel called to the priesthood, you feel called to a religious order, and then you go to a dance, and it's already tough enough. You are supposed to be, and you are normally, attracted to people of the opposite sex. And then here you are becoming in close proximity to these individuals, and you become moving, and then all of a sudden, naturally, the chemicals start to flow. You normally do not sway your bodies back and forth in unison with a person of the opposite sex who's at very close proximity to you, who smells nice, who has gotten dressed just to please you, who is moving just to please and to make people like them. And now you feel this overwhelming rush in the heart. Oh, I really like women. I really like women too. You know what? Father really likes women too. He should. You are a man. Vocation does not mean that you are not attracted to people of the opposite sex. Once you are married, doesn't mean that you're not attracted. Once you are consecrated, doesn't mean that you're not still attracted. And so you must guard your vocation. Because if there is a devil and there is a devil, he's going to try and steal that seed, that authentic vocation that God has put in your heart. So now you've gone to this dance where God had called you to the priesthood. Now you've said, God, time out from this God thing. I'm going to go to this secular dance, listen to secular music, where I'm going to lose my sense of God's presence, where I'm going to be susceptible to opening my hearts to these darts and snares of the devil, of the evil one, to put into my heart to try and steal my vocation from me. All of a sudden, this girl becomes very attractive. This girl is giving me a little bit of attention. And I kind of think she's cute. And what happens? Your soul becomes muddled. Your intellect is darkened. Your will is weakened. But you maintain your good name. I'm still a good person. This is just a dance. Everybody's at the dance. And so you lose your vocation. And then you will tell me, what? I know a man who is the best dancer in the school. And he has his vocation. He became a priest right after school. Thank the Lord for that. Who knows what difficulty, what lengths the Lord went to help him keep his vocation. Who knows what miracles of his soul had to take place? Who knows what goes on in the confessional? We don't know. We can just thank the Lord for that vocation. But I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, many vocations are stolen because of this. I've known many young men who have told me and confided in me that they are called to the religious life. They are called to the priesthood. They pray so many rosaries a day. They're so discerning. They start going to these dances and bam, where are they now? They've left. They've gone. They've become lukewarm. They've given up their marriage. and devotion. They've turned their back on the Lord and they barely even go to church anymore. Why? Because of what's going on in their heart. They can't possibly give up women that are so pleasurable and so beautiful. And they are beautiful. Women, you are beautiful. Which brings me to my next point. Point number one, dances are a snare to steal one's authentic vocation in all discernment from the soul. That's point number one. If you're a young man, young woman called to the married life, you need to be very discerning. The last thing you need to do is just be thrown in a circumstance where you're going to start getting these infatuations of heart, where you know if you've ever had an infatuation that it can seem almost like the devil is kind of like scraping at you, making you think of this person obsessively, and it can be very torturous to the soul. Don't do that. If you're going to be married to somebody, you don't need to go to a dance to find who you're going to marry. The person shouldn't have to touch you and swing you around and smell you in order to decide that you're the kind of person that they want to be in a relationship with. If you're discerning a vocation to holy matrimony, you need to discern very carefully, and a dance is one thing that will ruin that discernment. Even if you're already discerning with somebody, you're very pure in your relationship, you get thrown into that dance, and now all of a sudden where you normally wouldn't be holding hands, where you normally wouldn't allow this man to have his hands around your waist, and trust me, as a man, and we've never touched a particular girl before, we are getting a feel for the topography, if you know what I mean, even in these modest, quote unquote, modest dances, only modest compared to the outrageous vulgarity that occurs in other places. So the second point, women are beautiful. My second point being, girls at dances lower their standards. You might say, ladies, it's just a good time. I just want to go and have fun with my girlfriends. Right. You say that. But when it comes time for the dance, when it comes time to get dressed for the dance, you're getting dressed with a very thought in mind, how can I make myself look as attractive as possible? How can I get as much attention as possible? And if this is not your problem, it is a great temptation. And if it does not occur every single time, it still occurs. And it most likely will occur every single time unless you've rubbed your conscience so raw, you're just so used to throwing yourself out there, you don't even think about it anymore when you're dressing. You're not only trying to please and get the other girls to say, oh, how beautiful she is. Oh, look at her. She looks really nice. Oh, you're also trying to do this to the young men women are already attractive as it is. And now she's trying to get all of her wiles out there. I'm going to wear a shirt that's extra, you know, clingy. Or I want my skirt to flow just so nicely. It's all about vanity, vanity, vanity. It's all about getting people to look at me out of vanity. And it starts off with just, oh, I want to look nice. This is what you say. I want to look nice. Yes, but what does the devil do? He always attaches a temptation with a truth. I want to look nice. I look nice. I'm presentable. I'm wearing a hoodie and I'm still presentable. I'm presenting, right? But I'm not trying to seduce you. I'm not trying to get you to look at me and love me. But that's what happens when you go to a dance. Girls seek attention. You're dressed expressly to get the attention of others. You wear your finest. You dress better at the dances than some of you even dress when you go to church. And you're also dancing to please others. You want to be the best dancer out there. You love to be the best dancer. Why? Because you want people to, oh, look, she looks good. She's a good dancer. Her hair smells so good. Vanity, vanity, vanity. And you lower your standards. What do you mean you lower my standards? Well, normally you wouldn't be letting these boys touch you. Normally you wouldn't be letting these... You're now in the arms of every man at the dance. You're just swinging around. Oh, it's so fun. Oh, every man at the whole school's already got their hands all over you. I can't believe that fathers and mothers are proud of this if they actually thought what was going on, to know if you walk into a room and go, oh, all these boys have had their hands all over my daughter. Oh, yeah, their hands might have only been on her hips and on her back and on her shoulder and on her arm and maybe between their arms or maybe flipping you up over their heads and their skirts going everywhere. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. When you think about it that way, if you could have a picture of the faces of every young man who's touched your daughter, you wouldn't like that so much. But when it's just one dance, one guy at a time, it changes your perception. But when you have a picture and you see them all laid out in front of you, think of all the men you've ever danced with, all the men who've ever touched you, all the men you've ever rubbed your body up against, wow. It starts to make you look like a doorknob. Everybody gets a turn. So, also, how else do girls lower their standards? Girls will get themselves into these situations where they don't want other people to feel bad. It happens all the time. Girls try to avoid guys that they don't like. The guy asks them to the dance. And what do? They get peer pressured by their friends to go with them to the dance. Oh, well, you can't make him feel bad. He asked you. How can you turn him down? How could you not turn him down? Just because this guy asks you to go with him, that now gives him a sense of right over you. Well, she's my date to the dance. I get a dance with her. I get to touch her. She's going to dress up specifically to please me. And oh, the slow song is coming on. I get to dance with her the slow song. I get to gaze into her eyes. I get to smell her hair. I get to smell her perfumes. I get to touch her back. I get to hold her hand for 3 minutes at a time. Wow, girls, you're lowering your standards. Would you normally let this guy hold your hand if you just met him or if you're just friends with him? No, you wouldn't let him hold your hand. You're not even interested in this guy. Discernment, discernment, discernment. And forgive me for yelling at you. I just get passionate. And besides, if I wasn't yelling, you'd probably go to sleep. Anyways, but then you feel bad for this person. And then somebody comes up to you and they ask you to dance. Well, I don't want to be rude, but I don't. And it's funny because that goes through your head. You think, I don't want to be rude. I don't really like this person, but I don't want to be rude. And what happens when you say yes to a guy? It leads him on. That brings me to my third point. So my first point, it's a snare to steal your vocation from the devil. The devil has set up these dances. Think about how he set them up. They're in middle school. They're in high school. They're in college. And then right when it's time to get married, all dancing's over. The sweetheart you met on the dance floor, he no longer wants to dance with you. Why? Because you are now just an old bag. He didn't really love you for your intellect. He didn't really love you for your holiness. Now you're just old news. All dances stop after you're married for most people. Why? Because the devil has his snares set up to trap you pious Catholics, the very few of you that you are. He's got them. He's not a fool. He's cunning. So it's a snare to steal one's vocation. Second, girls, you lower your standards from the moment you say yes to go to the dance. Even if you go by yourself, what makes you think, if you cannot resist the temptation to go to a dance itself, what makes you think that you're going to resist the temptation when a guy asks you to dance with him? Oh, it's just a fast song. I'll dance a fast song with you, but I won't dance a slow song with you. What makes you think you're going to have all this willpower now that you've already smelled it, now that you've already opened the door to let the snakes come into your house? So now you've said yes to these young men who you don't even really like, but you're going to let them rub themselves all over you and spin you around and flip you upside down in all sorts of immodest positions. Number three, these young men you've said yes to, and it does not put the blame 100% on you. Men also have to be careful, and I'm going to speak to the men, but you should know, ladies, that young men are easily enchanted. Young men are easily seduced. If you are dressed to impress, if you're there trying to impress, you're putting on your best mask to hide who you really are, to show that you're a fun-loving person. Come, boys, dance with me. I'm happy. I want to be popular, but I don't want to make a real commitment yet. But you're willing to give up some touching for a little attention, which seems to be the bigger problem. We always hear that, oh, guys will use love to get to girls to have sex or to have sexual advancement. And girls will allow a little bit of sex, allow a little bit of touching to get a little bit of love and attention. Well, isn't that true even at dances, even at good, wholesome dances to a certain degree? Girls are willing to allow themselves to be touched by strange men. Girls are willing to allow themselves to be handled and fondled by different boys and different girls and be swung about. Why? Just so I can get a little bit of attention, just so I can be liked. So young men are easily seduced and enchanted. Now, I will stop putting all the blame on women for a minute because it's not all your fault. Young men, don't go to dances. Why not? Don't go to dances. Say no. Call it a night. Don't go. Go to the movies. Do something positive. And when I say go to the movies, go to a good movie. Do something with your friends. Go to the chapel. Spend time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Don't go to dances. All too often, I have seen so many young men go to a dance, go out, and they see the girls, whereas they would not normally be attracted to these girls in their discernment. They would normally not speak to these girls. They wouldn't even look a second time at these girls. But at the dance, for some reason, they become more attractive. At the dance, now that they've got a slightly more immodest, a shiny, beautiful satin dress on, whatever they're wearing, they're dressed to impress you. They are putting on their best gown. They're putting on their best moves. They are getting close to you. They're touching you. They're laughing at your jokes. They're staring into your eyes. The music is playing. Oh, la, la, looking into your eyes, and all of a sudden, you can't help it. You can't help but be attracted. Of course, why not? Because you're a human being, man. You're a man. You're meant to be attracted to women. And now this woman is doing all the right things and saying all the right things where you would normally not be attracted to her, and bang, she's got you. That's what girls do. That's why girls who are insecure, who don't know what they're worth, dress down, they dress immodestly to try and get your attention, because they don't think that they could normally get your attention otherwise, where it should be about your discernment and your vocation and who you're going to marry, who's going to be the best for you, who's going to save your soul, who's your real, true, good friend, how are you going to lead this person to holiness? And here you are, bewitched by a girl you normally wouldn't even have anything in common with. And then you get married, and then you're like, how did I get in this relationship? Lord, why did you let me do this? And he says, I didn't let you do this. When you went into that dance, you stopped your discernment. You said, Lord, you stay here. I'm going to go in and have a good time. I'll meet you when I get out. But what happens when you get out? You have a hardened heart. So many men, young and old, are enchanted by women that they would not normally be attracted to. And girls allow themselves to be touched and to be close to the men. So boys, don't fall for it. God has a plan for you. God has somebody waiting for you, and you don't have to find them at the dance. God has somebody special. If you're called to the sacrament of matrimony, God has somebody for you. And she doesn't have to steal your heart with chemical reactions and getting close in the music. Don't fall for that. Girls, the same thing. Especially if you're a guy, the problem with guys is that sometimes they only discern the priesthood whenever they can't get girls or whatever the problem is. And so they go to these dances, and then they're like all caught up in this passion. And they're like, no, I don't want to be a priest. I love girls. I'm sorry, God. But God, if God is calling you to a vocation, avoid those unnecessary occasions of sin. Number four. So number one, it's a snare. And I'm repeating these because you don't hear it ever. This might be the only time you ever hear it. And after this, you're going to shut it out, shut me out. But it doesn't matter because I've done my part. Number one, it's a snare to steal your authentic vocation. It's a snare to take all discernment from your soul, to mix your emotions. Number two, girls lower their standards at dances. Number three, young men are easily seduced and enchanted. I know it sounds like, oh, poor young man. But guess what? They're weak, man. Just like a man shouldn't overpower a woman physically, a girl should not overpower a man sexually. They are weak. It's the culture that's helped to make them weak, including they have concupiscence. The world, the flesh, and the devil are against everybody. Number four, the sexual passions are easily stirred up. What do I mean? There's physical contact with the opposite sex. You're moving in a rhythm. There's music beating. There's forced eye contact. There's breathing that's enhanced. It's completely focused on the opposite sex. Where else is this true? In sex. The sexual passions are easily stirred up because these things are closely associated with sex. So, as St. Francis de Sales said, hearts are more disposed to let themselves be contaminated and polluted. The sexual passions are easily stirred up there because of the very nature of the dance. I've heard in some circles even excuses from theology of the body. Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. They're even using excuses of theology of the body. Well, dancing shows the complementarity of the sexes. And the man leads the woman, and there's the rhythm, and it's the two of them, and they become one unit moving together on the dance floor. You are using theology of the body to prove my point. This is very closely parallel to theology of the body. This is very closely parallel to the ultimate union between man and woman. Therefore, this should be reserved to those who are married or getting married together. Why? Because this is the very nature of the sexual passions. The very nature of the sexual act is close physical contact, is moving in unison. Oh, it's beautiful. The dance is beautiful. You know what else is beautiful? Sex is beautiful too. Save it for marriage. Save your dancing for your wife. Please, Lord, help us all. And then that leads to the next part. You're doing these things, even with people you might not be romantically interested in the first place, but now you are doing things that are associated with the romantic man and woman together, and you're doing this with people you're not even romantically associated with, and this leads to lust in a relationship, if it is stirring up the passions and enamorations and infatuations of the heart amongst your friends who you're not even in a relationship with, what would it do in the relationship? Over familiarity with the opposite sex. Now he's comfortable touching your back. Why are you going to get mad if I touch your back outside of the dance when I've been touching your back the entire dance? 3 minutes the length of a song, or the entire night if you're a monogamous dancer? Why are you going to get mad at me if I slip my hand on your back? Or even then, if my hand's on your back, what's the difference if you're wearing a sheer material? That's like touching your back itself. Why can't I slip my hand underneath your back, underneath your shirt? Oh, wow, now I can touch your back, skin to skin contact. Where's the line? You've spit all over the line. You've danced all over the line, literally. So over familiarity of the opposite sex, so you're trying to have a pure and chaste relationship with people, then you go into, you're trying to discern properly, then you go into the dance, the guy is rubbing you and touching you, and I promise you he's getting a feel for the topography as much as he can, as much as you'll let him. He's trying the best he can. Men are weak when it, women are weak when it comes to different things, men are weak when it comes to different things. Eve fell, she received the fruit from Satan, the snake. She received the food, and then what did she do? Her problem was offering the fruit to Adam. Oh, I have this forbidden fruit that you can't have, Adam. It looks good. It's pleasing to the eyes. It's useful for gaining knowledge. Oh, this sounds a lot like dancing. Dancing is beautiful to the eyes. It looks good for the appetite. Oh, it's fun. It's pleasurable. And what else? Because it's used for gaining knowledge. Don't you know that this is dance is going to help you be more in tune with the opposite sex? This is knowledge you need to have. These are all lies that the devil used for Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden. And then what else did Eve fall? She offered these forbidden fruits. And what was Adam's fall? Adam's fall was the temptation to resist these forbidden fruits from Eve. And also failing to be a man and failing to stand up when the devil rears his ugly head around, not punching him in the face, not twisting off his little neck. And that's what we're trying to do with this video. I'm trying to be a man and stand up for you women. I'm trying to be a man and help you to get out of dances. Stop going to dances. Don't say nobody ever told you not to go to dances. Don't say only the old people, only the saints. I'm a young man telling you. Don't go to dances. If you care about your future, if you care about your vocation, if you care about your soul, if you care, if you love God, don't go to dances. So it kills discernment. It leads to over-familiarity in relationships. What else does it do? Well, you might dress modestly. You might be very modest in your dress. You wear skirts down to your knees. You don't wear low-cut shirts. But what you are not doing at these dances is you're not avoiding immodest actions. Many dances, especially swing dances, you're going through the other partner's legs. You're putting your head, you're going through the legs of a man. You know what's between a man's legs besides your head? Okay, what else are you doing? You're letting him flip you upside down with your skirt going above your head. You're letting him, you're opening up your legs, and you're letting him put his leg between your two legs. You know what's between your two legs? You're letting him put his leg between your two legs. He's spinning you around and flipping upside down, and you're throwing yourself all over the place. These are immodest actions for a Christian woman. When I see some of these dances going on at these Catholic universities and Catholic schools, my heart kind of breaks because they're so proud of these dances. And if the saints could see them, what they would say is, these cannot be Christians. These cannot be people who follow a crucified Lord. They're dancing like pagans. Maybe the pagans of the years of the saints, not compared to the pagans that we experience today, who are just like having sex on the dance floor practically with their clothes on, and it's terrible. So going to dances takes away your peace of soul. It takes away your discernment. And then there's the peer pressure that goes along with this. If you were to stand up, and when you do stand up, and I hope some of you will stand up and stand out and don't go to dances, and you will be vocal about it, and you will share this video with people, even though they're going to reject you, they're going to mock you, they're going to insult you. Well, guess what? They did the same thing to Jesus Christ. Our God is a crucified Lord that we follow. And when he was alive on this earth, he said that the path to heaven was narrow and few people follow it. It's a path less traveled, but the path to hell was wide and many people follow it. Are you going to be like everybody else who's going to the dance? Or are you going to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow our Lord on the way to Calvary, which is your eternal life? Are you going to follow everybody else, or are you going to follow the Lord? and sacrifice 2 hours of your life. It's just 2 hours, 2 hours of fun and a little bit of ridicule for those who know why you're not going. Are you willing to offer that up? For what? For your peace of soul? So that you can properly discern your vocation and who it's with? So you don't get caught up with all the emotions and the pride and the vanity and the passion involved with preparing for the dances? You don't get caught up with the degradation that occurs when you actually go to the dances, and then you don't have to be caught up in all that results from your going to dances and these new relationships that you've formed without any prior discernment with people you don't even know very well. And if you do know them well, now you've given them a layout of the map, if you know what I'm talking about. And you've given over your body, and not only your body, but your heart, to be open to temptations with these other people who you might normally not have attractions and physical emotions, not only physical emotions, but also spiritual emotions, spiritual ties, spiritual commonalities. But the peer pressure is enough to show you that this is something that the devil and the world wants. The devil and the world want you to go to dances. That's why they exist. Pray the rosary. If you feel like you're having a lot of temptation to go to dance, I can assure you, if you go to the chapel and you pray 4 rosaries throughout the day, and you sit there quietly with the Lord in the Eucharist, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He will say to you, come, follow me. Can you watch 1 hour with me? While the others have abandoned me, will you stay with me? What will Our Lady say to you in the rosary? She'll say the same thing to you as she said to the beloved disciple. Don't follow the other apostles who abandoned my son. Stay with me. Stay with me and follow my son all the way up to the foot of the cross. And Mary will keep you safe. You want to be the Lord's beloved disciple? Stay with Our Lady. Keep the Lord company in his agony. Go to the chapel and pray for those who are at the dances. Pray for those young men who have a vocation who might be giving it up for 2 hours of worldly fun. I used to teach, and I still do teach in certain capacities, and I've had a lot of very special, faithful, fervent young people in my care who, when they left my teaching, they were saints, praying several rosaries a day, daily visits to the Blessed Sacrament, weekly, if not more frequent, confession, Mass as often as they possibly could. And then they go to dances, most of them. I would even say most of them. The push that kind of breaks the cord, the push that kind of cuts the rosary, unless it's forced and you're in a family and they kind of force you to pray it. But the passion that comes from one who's trying to faithfully follow God and discern his will and be a saint today, it pushed them over the edge, and it was the beginning of a downfall for them. And I pray that if you've been to dances, that you will sit them out. Don't go. Don't even go. Even if you're, I'm not going to dance, don't even go. Don't go, because if you can't resist the temptation to go, then you won't be able to deny yourself there. And so I recommend to you, pray the rosary every day. If you're watching this video and you take it seriously, it's because you're taking seriously the call to be a saint. And you cannot become a saint by self-will. You can only become a saint by God's will. And God's will is sacrifice. But most of all, God will transform you regardless of your circumstance if you are faithful to praying the rosary. And I'm not talking about one rosary of 5 decades. The one rosary of 5 decades was introduced for children initially, for children in a much more pious age. You need more than the children's rosary to have the heroic virtue necessary to live your Catholic faith today, to take the call to sanctity seriously. Pray 4 rosaries a day. It will transform your life. It will not be fun. It will not give you butterflies in your stomach. If it does, thank the Lord for that. But it will transform you, and eventually you will begin to peel back the layers of your life that are unnecessary, the layers of your life that are incompatible with your Christian vocation. You are a Christian. At baptism, you've renounced Satan, his pomps and his works. The dance is in itself pomps and works of Satan. Be a saint. Choose the cross.